with anthems ringing in my head, and I have to be careful that I don't. All my life. Because it's just one of those tunes, right? You know, don't do that. It's great. It's good, good stuff. Wonderful. If you've got a Bible, grab hold of it. If you haven't, we can get you one. And if you're sitting near somebody that has one, look over theirs. Just because you need to know, it may be on the screen. I trust Jude a bit to do that. But I mean, we can put whatever we want on the screen, right? And I keep saying that, but I can't put whatever I want in your Bible. So look at your Bible and check to make sure that I'm not lying. In Luke chapter 22, in Luke chapter 22 and in Matthew 26, we have this man who's a coward-ish, who would be like many of us, well, he'd be like me, who is at the trial of Jesus, and as he's there, this little girl and some people come up to him and say, you're with Jesus, you're one of the disciples. And he says, no, I'm not. And then somebody else says, no, you are. Your accent gives away the fact that you're a Galilean. You were with him. And then he says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And then there's this girl in Matthew and Luke, but they say this girl comes and says, surely you're one of his disciples. In fact, one of the guys who was there in the garden when Jesus was arrested, who's a cohort of the guy who has his ear chopped off by Peter, says, you were there. And Peter starts to swear and curse. I don't know him. And he trades his place. You've heard me talk about this before. He trades his friendship with the King of Kings for a place by a warm fire and social acceptance. That's what he does. And we are tempted all the time. I'm tempted in my life. All the time to trade the truth that I know. And it's Remembrance Day tomorrow. And we do remembrance here every month, when we remember that our King fell for us on the field of battle. We remember him. I remember the people that fought in the war, who died so that we have the freedom to do this. Like, never forget that. People who maybe didn't believe in this gave their lives so that we have the freedom to do this. And when I'm tempted, like for social niceties, to be just like Peter, and he's a great example as a disciple, then I'm in good company. Right, Saint Peter. Sometimes I'm with Saint Peter, next to the fireplace, warming myself, saying, "Yeah, don't know him." But in Acts chapter 2, same guy stands up, and he starts to speak. Now, we're going to read it, and we alluded to this last week. We'll flip forward to Acts chapter 2. And this is what it talks about. Peter stands up, and it says this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Remember, we looked at that last week, and it's together in one heart, together agreeing together. Now, we might disagree on many different things, but there's certain things we can agree together on, and that's what they agreed together on, the important things. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. I was somewhere last night and listening to a brook, basically a stream just running down off the mountain, and it's just got that wonderful roar to it. And I know it gets louder as the snow melt happens or if it starts to rain, but I just love the roar. And it's something like this windstorm, that roar of wind. And then what looked like flaming tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. We don't know what that looked like. There's many paintings, but nobody took a selfie, so nobody knows. Right? And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Now listen to this, listen. And began to speak in other languages, in other tongues, as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Now listen to this description. Please listen. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation in Jerusalem. When they heard the noise, everybody came running, and they were bewildered because they heard their own language being spoken. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are from Galilee, and yet we hear them in our own language. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Syria, and Syria, and all these different places. And visitors from Rome. You ever wonder who... Paul writes this letter to this massive church in Rome. But Paul hasn't been there. He writes this letter, the book of Romans, to the church in Rome, and he hasn't been there. So who planted the church? People from Rome. The Holy Spirit's there. They hear the message. Who planted the church in North Africa? The Ethiopian eunuch that Philip spoke to on the road. Like, all these different things start happening throughout the Bible. Now, why am I telling you this? These are God-fearing Jews. They're not normal. They're not just everyday people, right? These are God-fearing Jews. The Bible tells us that, who've come from every nation under the sun to Jerusalem to worship God. They're God-fearing Jews. They're already on a journey of finding out, trying to figure out who God is, and suddenly this thing happens. Now, and why am I telling you? Because it's not chaos. Now please listen, please. Because, you see, I've had people phoning me and emailing and people with angst and like, where are we going with this? We're not going to chaos. This is a very carefully stage-managed event. Jesus tees this up. He tees it up in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. He says, go to Jerusalem, don't leave. Go to Jerusalem and don't leave until you receive power from on high. Don't leave. In Luke, he tees it up. He says, listen, go to Jerusalem and wait till you receive the gift. They go to Jerusalem, they're sitting together, 120 people in the upper room. Meanwhile, months and months before, God has organized all these different traveling groups of people to be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Think, this is a logistical nightmare. Like, it just makes it, like, really? Well, like, God went to all that trouble? Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Why? Because the better prepared you are, the more spontaneous you can be. Please hear that. The more prepared you are, the more spontaneous you can be. And God sets all this stuff up. The Holy Spirit hits human flesh. They run outside. And all of a sudden, it's like they've been taking a Rosetta Stone course for 6 months. And they can all speak in the languages, just so happens, of all the people who God has arranged to be there. Do you see the organization that's involved in this? You see, I've been in a lot of different places, a lot of different denominations. And I see things done in the name of spiritual freedom that are more spiritual chaos. And what that does is it damages the work of the Holy Spirit. it damages, maybe it damages us wanting to get near to the power of God. Maybe. But that's not what he does here. In fact, all the way through the scripture, when I look at it, he's organized. Like, he's just got this. Now, it's not human organization, but it's God's way of putting things together. And I love that he does that, because then I can feel secure in that. He has this plan, and it's a plan not to harm me. We know the scripture. I have a plan for you, not to harm you, but to... When Moses goes, turns aside to see the burning bush, why does he turn aside to look at the burning bush? It's not a trick question. Pop quiz. Points win prizes. Why does he turn aside to look at the burning bush?
Because it's burning.
Because it's burning, but it's not damaged. Burning, not damaged. Fire in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Wood in the Bible is a symbol of humanity. The Holy Spirit burning in a bush without damaging it. He will not hurt you. I love that. I love it. Love it. He won't hurt me. He won't damage me. He won't hurt me. So when you see damage happening in the name of the Holy Spirit, run. Truly. Get out of there. I don't care how far, how fast, or how long you have to run, but get out. If you see damage happening, then just run. And tell them I told you so. Give them my phone number. All right? Because it's important we understand he doesn't want to hurt us. But there's an element of the Trinity that sometimes maybe I want to ignore, because I've seen excess and I've seen damage and I've seen division. But this man who was a coward stands up and starts to preach with boldness. What happened? We know what happened, right? The power of God comes on this man and turns him from being a coward into somebody who's bold for the kingdom. Doesn't turn him into a raving lunatic. Doesn't turn him into a weirdo. He turns him into the same guy, but now he has the power to be the person that God called him to be. The power that he was lacking when he's standing at the fireplace and a girl comes and says to him, "You were with him." And he goes, "No, I wasn't." And he doesn't just stand up and mumble. He doesn't say, "Listen, this is a prophecy of John." He says he stands up and he speaks boldly. Doesn't just mumble. He speaks boldly. Right? And I'm thinking, what a transformation. Just total transformation in this guy's life. You flip forward a couple of chapters, and there's Acts chapter 3, one chapter actually, if you're at chapter 2, chapter 3. You've got Peter and John, because James isn't there, don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. But Peter and John are walking to the temple, the gate beautiful. You've heard me preach about this before sometime. When they're going in there and they heal through the power of the Holy Spirit. They heal the beggar who's been sitting there all his life. So who has probably walked past this man before? Begins with J, ends with Jesus. Jesus has probably walked past this guy. Why? Because he was leaving him for them. Leaving him for them. And so they walk past him and they look at him. Silver and gold we don't have. Like, maybe they were in ministry. Right? Silver and gold we don't have. Personal joke. Silver and gold. No, you look after me. You really do. I'm blessed. I'm blessed, blessed, and blessed, and blessed. So please don't ever think that. Silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Bang! Holy Spirit hits his flesh, heals him, and one chapter later they're in trouble. Nobody's writing a book about them. Nobody's making a video series. They're in trouble. Why? Why? But because they started to act like Jesus. And then you read these wonderful words in Acts chapter 4. And it says this. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says the people who were giving them trouble took notice that they'd been with Jesus. Why? Because they're wearing a Jesus t-shirt.
I'm with Jesus t-shirt.
You know, who would Jesus date? Bracelet, you know. WWJD bracelet, like, or depending on where you come from, WWJD, we want Jack Daniels, I don't know, what's done. But like, but you got, who? What would Jesus do, right? They're not wearing the what would Jesus do bracelets, they're not wearing the t-shirt, but they're acting in the same way that Jesus would act. Why? Because of Romans 8 verse 11. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will what? Quicken your mortal bodies. You'll end up doing what Jesus did. You'll end up filled with a similar type of power. You won't become weird. You won't become strange. You won't become like me, you won't become like Mark. Although I want to be Mark when I grow up. So, you'll be the person and have the power to live the life that God intends us to live. I am never more Phil-like than when I am plugged into God. That's who he created me to be. And I didn't understand that for 20-odd years. Try to figure out how to... You meet people all the time, try to find themselves. We were sitting in a cafe yesterday, and that song was on the radio. It was playing on the thing. You know, all this time I was... But I didn't realize I was lost. All this time I was trying to find myself and I didn't realize I was lost. And it's just a great song. And all that time I was trying to find who I was and I didn't realize that I become really me when I'm plugged into God. And then that carries, that's not in church, that carries for every single hour that I live outside of this building. That's the best version of me that can be on the earth when I carry that plugged into Godness wherever I go. Why? Because that's the way that God has organized it to happen. I got a text, an inconvenient text. Wonderful things. An inconvenient text from somebody who said, "Can you please give my friend a ride to the airport?" Now listen how God teases this up. It's wonderful. "Can you give my friend a ride to the airport?" And I'm thinking, yeah, I could. You ever had a text like that? And you think, yeah, I could. Yeah. It's going to add time to my journey. When I get home, I've got things to do. But I'm thinking, yeah, okay, yeah, fine. Of course I can. I can give your friend a ride to the airport. So I take this woman, this lady, to the airport. Her name is Debbie, right? Her name's Deborah. She's a German lady. It's not her fault. This is where she was born. So just, it's close to England. It's getting closer. So she's a German lady, and she's sitting in my car, and we're driving along, we're talking, and all of a sudden, you say, "Oh, great, you know." We're talking about her hometown, where she comes from, and I say, "Yeah, I've got a friend, a real good friend, and she's just moved to Dresden." And this girl, woman, sitting in my passenger seat of the Jeep goes, "I'm from Dresden." And my antenna goes up, right? It's like, what's going on here? Got this woman in my... And I said, "You see, my friend who's gone to..." You know her, actually. She was here. Jeremy King's wife. Right. The worship lady, who, by the way, is also Teen Canada's setter. In the Team Canada volleyball team, right? So she's the center. So she's good, right? Sorry. Yeah. Guys. yeah. It's not a rugby ball. Who cares? It's not a real sport. Like, they don't treat people when they're bleeding on the field. That's a real sport. Okay? So it's not a rugby ball. So what do I care? Right? So, but she's a setter. So she's Team Canada setter. So you need to pray for Team Canada. Right, for the volleyball team, because this girl has an incredible influence amongst those people, which is great. So she's in Dresden, but she doesn't know any churches there. So I've got this girl who's a Christian sitting in my car, arranged to be there by Margit, but she doesn't understand how used of the Holy Spirit she's being. She texts me saying, "You're going to the airport, got this girl." And Bree has said, "Do you know anybody in Dresden?" I'm thinking, "I know, I must do, because I know people all over the place." But I got this, and so I said to her, I said, "Does your family go to church in Dresden?" They go, "Oh yeah, got a great church." I'm saying, "Give me the address of the church." So I send it to Bree, and Bree last night, during the middle of the night, sends me pictures of her sitting in the church in Dresden, all right? And she sends it, she says, "It's awesome." Wow. She says, "I'm sitting in church in Dresden." And she said, "And it feels like home." She said, I've got a place that I can bring the team. That's all she's thinking. I've got a place that I can bring the team. And they've plugged her into this English-speaking group of people there. And I said, "There's this wonderful, wonderful word in German. I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but I'm English, so, you know." So, and it's Gemeinschaft. Gemeinschaft. I love that word. Gemeinschaft. Say it. Just say it. It's not a bad word. Gemeinschaft. It's roughly fellowship, right? Roughly, it's fellowship. Gemeinschaft. But I just love the strength of the sound of that, because fellowship sounds a bit like two fellows in a ship. Yeah. It's fellowship. But you've got Gemeinschaft, right? Gemeinschaft. And I think, and I texted Bree back and I said, "There's this German word and it's Gemeinschaft. And when you say it out loud over and over and over again, it sounds powerful. And there's power in fellowship when you get your people together and you get those girls to the prayer meeting, the Bible study, and you're sitting around the volleyball court and you're doing what chicks do. I don't know what girls do, I'm not a girl." So they're doing what they're doing, and she's got Gemeinschaft there, right? She's got fellowship. Why? Because somebody texts. And it starts with this simple thing of a text, inspired by the Holy Spirit. You see, we expect God to do these massive, great big things where he lights up the sky. But he doesn't. He does these tiny little things that have massive implications. And this morning, this all happened during the night, woke me up, what's going on? And I said, "Got this text," and I'm looking at this text, and I'm texting her back, and she said, "Your sermon's really good." I can't understand most of it's in German. And so, but she enjoyed this worship and stuff, and this morning she said, it's just wonderful. She said, "Thank the lady. Thank the lady." So I'm thanking you. I'm like, "Thank you for texting." Because it's plugged in these people. Now Jeremy is gonna go across there. And she's already arranged for him to lead some worship and stuff. And like, it's just amazing. All these little God connections. Why? Because the Holy Spirit moves on earth.
Yes.
And that happens here in Pemberton. Can you come and tell us the what happened? But I want you to listen, and I want to have this mic, so I want this to be end up on the recording at the back.
Okay.
That's okay. Well, do you want this in your pocket?
Sure.
Or hold it. Or get Natalie to hold it.
So how do we do this?
Anywhere. Just hold it or stick it on there. It's good. Other side. Yeah, it's a left-handed clip. I'm sorry.
I think I got it. Okay. What Phil didn't say was that I started this text message about 3 times and deleted it again, because I didn't want to bother him. But then I thought, but he's going to the city anyway, and Debbie would really like to meet him, and she hadn't had a chance to talk to Pastor Phil. So I thought, I'm just going to ask. So anyhow, what Phil is asking me to talk about, though, is a few weeks ago, maybe it's 6 weeks or 8, I was after church at the HE food grocery store. I do shop there sometimes. And I saw a lady going through the aisle, and she seemed to be in a real rush, and she seemed also stressed out. And I recognized her. I had seen her before, but I didn't know who she was. So later I was at the till lining up, and I saw her at the till. Behind her was another woman that I have never seen before, obviously a visitor, maybe a tourist, and then me. And then I saw this woman behind me, lining up behind me, and she only had one item in her hand. And I often think of the scripture in Philippians that say, let your kindness be shown to all men. So when I sometimes see someone in the store with only one or two items, I let them go ahead. And so I told her, why don't you go ahead of me? And she says, are you sure? I said, yeah, it's okay. I have some time. And then she started to unload onto the conveyor belt a whole bunch of stuff out of her bag. I thought, oh, okay, well, that's going to take longer than I thought. Anyhow, long story short, I didn't realize what was going on in front of this woman that was unloading to the conveyor belt. But when I got to the till to pay, the cashier was all smiles and happy. And she says to me, did you see what was just happening here? Did you see what was going down? I said, no, what? She says, that Lady Rose from Pemberton, she was going to pay her bill. And the woman, the visitor, she said, you know what? I'm going to pay for your groceries. And she said, no, 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 it's okay. I can do it. She says, you know what? I don't normally do this, but God really put it on my heart that I should pay for your groceries because he loves you. And the woman, Rose, it was not this Rose, it was a different Rose. She just started to bawl, and I didn't even notice. She just started crying, and I thought, wow, what a witness. Hopefully the other woman that I let go ahead of time heard it as well. And so that's the story. There is other Christians in this town that we don't know.
Brilliant. Great stuff. Now, reason I want you to hear that, who told the lady to buy the groceries? Holy Spirit. I miss so much if I don't listen. If I don't listen, I will miss so much, and I'll just hear the stories. I want to be part of the story. I love hearing them. I love hearing them. But I want to be part of the story. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't grow up particularly in a place that put a lot of emphasis on personal hygiene. Just one way I brought up, right? Number one, we're English, right? The great company of the unwashed is where we are. Like, you know. So, but if you're in other families, they just don't care, right? I stunk. So like I didn't learn about personal hygiene and stuff like that really until I was mid to late teenager. By then it's too late anyway, right? I remember the first time I ever got in a shower. It's true. I actually remember the first time I ever got in a shower because I was English. I wasn't North American, so we had tubs rather than showers, right? I remember the first time I got in a shower. And I stood there, and this water just hit me in the face. How do you get out of here? But then I found out, if you stand back, it doesn't drown you. Right? Now you laugh, but if you're not used to that, you don't know, right? You don't know, and it's like just as an experiment. When you get in the shower, at some point, some of you need to get in the shower, right? So as you get in the shower, just stand there with it hitting you in the face and find out how uncomfortable it is, because you already know, so you don't stand like that, right? But if you don't know, and you say, get me out of here. But I found out that you stand in different places, right? And like, I know my missus can have a shower and without getting her hair wet, and she has long hair. Like, that's a gift, right? Why? Because you position yourself in the shower. Now listen, God's got this shower. called the Holy Spirit, never stops. And sometimes, you can get in wrong. And it hits you in the face. Stop, right? Or I can position myself. Say, God, I feel there's stuff I'm missing out on. I want to position myself so that I'm in your shower, but it's not overwhelming. Do you know what I mean? It's a bad mental image. But you understand. There's this shower of the Holy Spirit that I can position myself in so that he cleans, he refreshes, he forgives, he heals, he revitalizes. He sets me up for every day. Now, as a church, and I love the way Mark says it, and I love the way others say it, that thank you for bringing the church. Church is all made up of individuals. And we can decide, okay, where do I position myself? Can I position myself in such a way that it's comfortable for me to stand wherever I want in this shower that God is pouring? And there's this wonderful little phrase in the middle of the book of Esther. Because when people study the book of Esther, they only ever preach from one verse. You've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. That's all they say. It's a whole book where the king is giving a lavish feast. And it says that the wine, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, not drunkenness, the wine flows with the king's liberality. Beautiful phrasing. Talking about the king pouring out his gift. And it says this. And the guests were allowed to drink in whatever way they wanted. Boom. He doesn't force me to drink. He offers this to me and says, you can drink however you want. Why? Because he will never damage me. That's why this line is in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I do. I don't understand his working, but I know I like it. I don't understand how he does what he does, but there's just something good about what he does. Even when I don't understand it. And I think every now and again he comes along to us and says, I've got this shower running. Where do you want to stand? I'll risk a toe. Like truly, I'll risk a toe. I'll risk a toe. I want to be soaked in him, but I might have to risk a toe. You know what I mean? And that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So stand with me, if you will. Father, this is such an incredibly huge topic. Your Holy Spirit, the way he moves, the way he operates, the way he changes people's lives, the way he talks to people in shopping lines, the way he inspires people to text somebody and set up a divine appointment, the way he takes a coward of Peter and he turns him into an incredibly dynamic evangelist in one chapter. We thank you, Father, that you offer us the opportunity to stand in the shower that you have running. And some of us in this room, Father, we just want to run a million miles from the shower. Truly we do. Others want to risk a toe. Some people just want to be soaked in you. Father, wherever we are on this journey, we agree with what the Apostles' Creed says, that we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we do ask you to be more involved in what we do on a day-to-day basis. to help us to be naturally supernatural, to take the ordinary and turn it into the holy ordinary, to take our lives and to soak them with your presence. And even pray in that, I can feel there's some discomfort. So help us with the discomfort. Help us to understand that you won't hurt us, that there's no intent from you to turn us into anything that we're not, other than the people who are filled with the power to be the people that you called us to be. So help us as we look at this wonderful subject of your life and your grace and your mercy that's extended to us through your Holy Spirit. And we do say, we do say, we want to be part of that shower. Yes. We want to be in the shower. Whatever that means for us, we want to be in the shower. So thank you, Father, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're disturbed by anything that we've talked about, please, my phone number is 604-219-0911. My email, philcann@shaw.ca. Do not be disturbed. Please, don't be disturbed. There's elders here. There'll be people who have cards on them. And you can ask them to pray for you or just say, this really bothers me. Please, don't let this disturb you. This is just part of the Jesus that we know and we love. Okay? So bless you. Have a great week.